Hello and welcome to a three inning save podcast. The three. Starting the year, I've been saying A because we've already recorded an episode, Eric.
That's right. This is our second three inning save of the year. We're a veritable Andre Jackson out of the gate. It's weird. So this is our second episode and of 2024, and we're looking back at 2023. So we jumped ourselves because the Dodgers made a move. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's where we're at.
And if you want to hear a lot more thoughts about that move, just go back a few days.
Yeah, that's right.
This is my favorite episode of the year. We go back on all of the bets and predictions you and I made over the past year and see how hilariously wrong we were in almost all of them. And then, you know, after that, just as a nice palate cleanser after our shame was washed away, we'll have questions from Craig after this.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. We're not messing around. We're going to jump right into this, right?
Our previous episode this week was about Teoscar Hernandez. This episode is only about bets. The bets we made with our own pride. Because we don't actually put money
on
these.
We don't do that. We should be able to get Mookie for this episode starting next year, right?
I think so. I put in a request, and turns out the Dodgers are deferring his his guest appearance on our episode to 2036. So,
hey,
we'll still be doing it. We know this. Yeah. All right. So these are, I think, almost all of these. I didn't look for certain, but I'm pretty sure all of them were essentially questions from Craig Benami in our various, you know, questions from Craig segments throughout the year. He'll throw in a question like for the contest, this or this, and then sometimes we forget. I tally most of them. I may have forgotten one or two, but like we have a list, and then I was thinking the other day, I was like, oh yeah, I need to go back, and so I went back and looked, and some we did pretty good on, some we did not. Some I biffed a lot, like it was bad. For instance, like in at True Blue LA back in February, I wrote that the Padres would win the National League West.
Did we do? I know we picked playoff teams. Did we predict division winners? Did I pick the Padres?
No. So I'll get to that in a second because okay. I don't. I think we did. Yeah, we did. I will have it ready when we get to that section.
Got it. I'm curious. I forget how confident I was.
However, I just want to give myself a little bit of credit because I said when the Padres would win the West, I also said the Dodgers are one of the best teams in the National League. They're going to be right behind them. But I also said, along with the I said the Dodgers would be one of the best teams in the National League, quote, along with the Padres, Braves, and Mets. So
one out of three.
Two, yeah. I say two for four since the Dodgers were. But then it'll be how Los Angeles does in October that measures their season, like always.
Yeah. How they do
right
there.
On target. So I cycled through our various predictions throughout the year, and these are in some cognizant order. But yeah, playoff teams before the season, you got 7 out of 12. I only got 5. So we both had Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, Astros, Blue Jays. You also got the Orioles and Twins, so you were on them. We both got Padres, Cardinals, Mets, Yankees, and Guardians. We are all wrong. I also said the Angels, and the Mariners would make it. The Mariners were at least close.
Yeah, that's totally defensible. Were like my bubble team. Like I really wanted to get them in there, and so couldn't.
I'm looking up at.
I picked two AL Central teams, which is a very dubious decision on my part.
Oh yeah, to
I could have just ran the. I could have just put. I probably would have put Seattle instead of Cleveland and been equally wrong. But
okay, so I think the way I ordered this, I think we both picked the Padres to win the division.
Man, I must
the way
have been in a bad
down.
Mood.
But we also picked. The Cardinals and Mets to win their division.
Naturally.
No, that's not right. We picked the Braves.
Who did?
We picked the Mets as the wild card. We did pick the Braves as division winner. But yeah, so, but anyway, but I will say, I think the one, especially given the hindsight of it, that we did it before the season, you nailed last place teams. You had 5 out of 6.
I know
Rockies, Rockies, Nationals, A's, Royals, and Red Sox. You only missed on the Pirates, who were in fourth, only 5 games above the Cardinals, who, again, we both picked to win the division. I only got 2 last place teams. This is so bad. I got the Rockies and A's, which is the same number as playoff teams that I picked to finish last. I picked the Orioles to finish last. My argument on this was it was going to be like they were going to be like an 83-win last place team or something. But that was just like 18 wins off in that scenario because they won 101. And the 84-win Marlins, I also finishing last. Yeah. But so Craig circled back in June 5th. He said, which of the sort of surprise contenders, Arizona, Baltimore, and Texas, would be in playoff position at the All-Star break? Jacob said all 3 of them and was correct. I only said the...
Why do you hate the city of Baltimore?
I was just going to say, I had no faith in the Orioles, and they were not only in playoff position then, they were in playoff position still. In fairness, they did not win a playoff game, so were they really in playoff? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say that. At the All-Star break, we also took another look at the standings. Craig said, how many winning AL teams would miss the playoffs? So I said, I believe this was winning AL teams at the time. I said the Mariners, Yankees. I picked the Mariners to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year, and I jumped off at this point. Mariners, Yankees, Red Sox. They all 3 missed. Jacob said only the Mariners and Red Sox. So you still had faith in the Yankees. Okay, he had already injured his foot at this point at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, it's his fault.
It's fair. Yeah. That's you know what, that's concrete. So on August 20th, again, we talked a lot about standings. We checked back in. We both had Dodgers, Braves, Orioles. I was on board now, and Twins winning the division. We had Texas winning the AL West, which they could have done by winning the last day of the season.
Yeah,
they did not. And then they were so mad they didn't do anything in October. Who knew? We both had the Rays and the Phillies as wild cards. Yep. We both had the Astros as wild card. We got them in the playoffs because they actually won the division. We both had the Brewers winning the AL Central. Yep. We both had – oh, no. I'm sorry. I had the Brewers winning AL Central. You had the Cubs. Mm. The Cubs really biffed it, man. They should have been in the postseason. You did have the Brewers winning the wild card, so you weren't fully down on them.
Yeah.
Now, I had the Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays on the wild card. And the Cubs, so that's wrong. You had the Mariners and the Reds winning the wild card. They both made late runs, but then neither made it. So on August 20th, we went back to the bottom of the standings. We picked 90 lost teams. You said 10. I remember being flabbergasted at the time, but also I was like, is he going to be right? Like, I was like, so secret. But I said six, and it turned out there were six.
Yeah, good job.
We also guessed most losses. Jacob said 106. I said 111. We knew it was going to be the A's, and the A's were the worst team. They lost 112, so I sort of get that. That's one.
So bad.
And then, okay, so that was standings. That we did a lot of standings bets. But so back before the beginning of the year, Craig asked, how many MLB players would have 20 home runs and 20 steals? Jacob said 15. I said 13. How, if just looking at this now without knowing, how many do you think there were?
15.
You're confident. I should have had this open, so it's loading as we're doing it. Okay, so there were 19. So
okay.
You get it because you're closer. At the All-Star break, we had a similar bet, sort of. How many 30-homer, 40-steal players were there in MLB? Jacob said Ronald Acuna Jr., Corbin Carroll. I only said Acuna. Carroll, let's see. Carroll missed out. So he had 25 homers but 54 steals. Acuna had 41 and 73, famously. Bobby Witt Jr. Was the other 30-40 guy, 30 and 49 for the Royals.
So I said two, so I win.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. We go above and beyond and name the actual players. Julio Rodriguez got close, 32 homers and 37 steals. This was another before the season one. We guessed who the Dodgers' sixth starting pitcher used would be. Now, at this point, Tony Gonsolin had already injured his ankle, so he was going to be out to start the season. So that just giving you sort of a timeline where we're at. We both guessed Michael Grove would be the sixth starter. However, because Ryan Pepiot injured his oblique, because he beat out Michael Grove for the fifth starter job, Pepiot started the year on the IL, and Michael Grove was the fifth starter. So it was actually Gonsolin as the sixth starter on April 26th in the Dodgers' 25th game of the season. You guessed it would be the 20th game. I guessed it would be the 31st game. So wait, I win in that. No, you win because it's the 25th game. Yeah, you were one game closer than I was.
Woo-hoo!
So I when I was looking up the answer to this, I thought we were way off. But it was because I thought it was for the whole season. when I was like, wait a minute. So this was a time of game thing. Obviously, the pitch clock was one of the bigger things in baseball this year. At the start of the year, Jacob said, how many of the Dodgers' 29 games in April would be 2.5 hours or less? I said 12. Jacob said 10. There were only seven. When I was tallying this up, I was like, I think it was like 30 something or whatever for the whole year. Oh yeah, 39. And I was like, man, we did not see this coming. But then I was like, oh, it's only April. Okay. But to put that in perspective, 39 for the year, there were only three in 2022. So it was pretty crazy. Back on April 16th, the Dodgers were 8-8. Craig asked us, when would the Dodgers first be five games over 500? I said the 33rd game. Jacob said the 40th. It was actually the 31st game on May 2nd, so I get that one. The next category is I sort of lumped Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman here because they had, you know, two great years. So, okay, May 14th. Betts already had 12 infield starts to this point. Craig asked, how many infield starts would Betts have by the All-Star break? I said 29. Jacob said 25. The actual was 31. And then for the entire season, Betts made 74 starts in the infield. He was, you know, primarily the second baseman, especially against lefties. No, wait, against righties because Hayward was in right. And so that was that. June 11th, how many runs scored would Betts and Freeman have at the All-Star break? I forgot what they were on that day. But for Betts, I said 71. Jacob said 67. For Freeman, I said 76. Jacob said 70. It was 72 runs each.
Call that a push.
Yeah. Yeah. You actually get the Freeman when you were closer. I get the Betts one.
Yeah.
So you're right. That's a push. You're right. August 13th, Freddie Freeman was in the midst of another double romp. This wasn't even a me and you thing. I don't remember how this was brought up. But I said Freddie Freeman would hit his 53rd double, which would break the Dodgers record on September 12th against the Padres. He actually did it 4 days earlier, September 8th.
Maybe I just abstain. That's how I refuse.
You're just like, this is absurd. You're way off. It was so obvious that I was going to be wrong that you just abstained. Another one that's sad. On September 3rd, when Mookie Betts was sitting on 38 home runs, we were asked when he would hit his 40th home run. Jacob said September 5th. I said September 8th as a hater. And he hit his 39th home run on September 11th, and then he never hit number 40. Zero home runs in the last 77 plate appearances of the regular season. Then he was famously 0 for 11 in the NLDS, so not the best of finishes. At the All-Star break, Craig asked how many qualified Dodgers would slug 550. We both said Betts and Freeman. They both did. Betts was 579. Freeman was 567.
I said Betts and Freeman. You only said Betts.
Oh, I can't read my own writing. That's right. You were confident.
Trying to.
I said only Betts because I figured Freeman would be slugged like 549.4 or something. That's in my head. And then JD Martinez also slugged 572, but he fell 23 plate appearances shy of qualifying. How are you feeling so far? You're doing pretty
good.
Well.
I'm better than previous. Yeah, I've had some real stinkers in previous years.
All right, now the rest of these are like some quick hitter stat stuff. Dodgers pitchers with a game finished by the All-Star break. Jacob said 20. Eric said 18. It was 18.
Look at that.
And 27 for the entire season. Dodgers grand slams for the year, they were at 6 through May 21st. Eric said 10. Jacob said 9 because he's a hater. It was 11. I technically was also a hater, apparently. I undershot them. June 25th, how many stolen bases were the Dodgers allow? They were at 95 steals through 77 games at this point. So I said 187, Jacob said 184. It was actually only 142. They got a lot better like as the season wore on, and it wasn't just because they dumped Noah Syndergaard.
It
definitely did not hurt. But the staff as a whole improved quite a bit. There was some reliever stuff in there. Phil Bickford, I think even like, was it Shelby Miller? There were some really bad reliever numbers in there. In terms of steals, but they did better in the second half. This is a funny one. Oh no, this is okay. Not the Craig's glory moment is coming. But on August 6th, just after the trade deadline, we picked which Dodgers would get off the zero home run schneid. Context through this point of the season, it was 110 games in, 14 different Dodgers had homered, 6 other position players plus Shelby Miller, who batted once. Batted but had not yet homered. We both said Kike Hernandez would be the first new Dodger to home run. This was 100% correct. He did it the next game, so we were on it on that one. Eric also said Austin Barnes would be the next one, which he did on August 17th. It was the only run in a 1-0 game. Now, he didn't hit it off Corbin Burns, but he hit it in the eighth inning to break a 0-0 tie. Jacob said Michael Bush, who did so a week later. So you were, we were on this one.
Yeah.
But to be fair, like there also weren't a lot of options. Like I think Ahmed Rosario had already homered at this point.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and so I was looking at it, but like, yeah, whatever. We nailed it. We're giving us credit for this. How would the Dodgers score their 900th run? This was the first time in Los Angeles Dodger history they did this. Jacob said it would be an Ahmed Rosario home run. Eric said Max Muncy would drive in Mookie Betts. Actually, it was a 3-run homer by JD Martinez on September 29th, game 160. It scored Freeman and Smith. Martinez was run number 900 when he touched home plate. Then once the playoffs started, this is not a Dodger-specific thing. In fact, it was not Dodger-specific at all because it was about the wild card round. How many starts of 5 innings or more during the wild card round across Major League Baseball? I said 11. Jacob said 8. The actual was 10, so I get it barely. But it's more impressive, I think, because there were only 16 possible games because every wild card series was a sweep. So, okay, transactional stuff. This is where Craig really shined. We gave him the field because we were so confident. We're like, we scoffed at this question, or at least I did. I definitely scoffed internally and possibly externally. The week before the trade deadline, Craig asked, how many players would the Dodgers add to the 40-man roster between July 24th and the 29th? Now, keep in mind, the trade deadline was not till August 1st. So I think we both thought he was leaving a lot on the table there. Like they were going to be quick with their moves or something.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, yeah, right. They're not going to do anything that quick. And they ended up adding four people. We both said zero. They added the four, and then they added Ryan Yarbrough on the first. So, man, they were a lot busier than we expected. Much like this offseason. I knew we expected them to be busy this offseason, but even I think we are a little surprised at just how highly active they have been, at least especially on the top end of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I like one of these things I thought would happen, and then, ooh, two would be a nice. The fact that they've landed three plus Teoscar. Yeah. So checking every box.
Speaking of that, too, on November 6th, Craig asked how many starting pitchers would the Dodgers sign before Hanukkah, which started on December 7th. Now, we were, again, expecting the Dodgers would add starting pitching. This wasn't a timing thing, though. Jacob said two. I said one. It was actually zero because they didn't start off there. And even counting Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher, he didn't officially sign until the 11th. And then Glasnow was December 16th. Now, I would have given us credit for that because they traded for him, but they also signed him. Yamamoto was official on the 27th. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So, congratulations to us, I think is what I'm trying to say here, because we did excellent this year in our bets. What do you think?
Like I said, a lot better than some previous years. I remember we've done some years where it's like we weren't close on half of them. And I felt like we were, you know, other than a few where I think understandably hard to see them fixing up the stolen base game as well as they did. So other than that, I feel good.
Yeah. I think you're going to feel good about this one too.
I don't.
So
we'll see.
I'm sure next week talk more about payroll stuff. We'll have the Teoscar Hernandez details in. Salary arbitration exchange deadline is Friday, so we'll have a little more clarity on the 10 Dodgers that are eligible, including catcher Will Smith. I was looking up some stats for Will Smith, and what I noticed... Catcher Will Smith. What did I say?
No, I was just... I was guessing that your trivia question would be what position he's played the most.
I need to cross this out. Hold on. Updating our notes. So he has a little over 4 years of service time. This is an arbitration process for the second time. As I was looking up stats, so he has accumulated 14.6 baseball reference WAR during his career. Now, that ranks sixth among players drafted by the Dodgers in the 21st century, counting only their WAR for the Dodgers. So how many of the five Dodgers draftees ahead of Smith can you name?
I'm going to give myself three strikes as I normally do, but I'm going to give myself a little time to think about what I'm going to say, and we'll be back after that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So there are five players drafted by the Dodgers who put up more WAR as a Dodger than Will Smith drafted in the 21st century.
That's right.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm going to give myself three strikes regardless. So let's... you may see in the show notes, I've tiered my guesses. I love this question because it's so open-ended and it's thinking a lot. The only thing I don't like about questions like this is there's got to be one name that is I'm just being an idiot on and I'm just bricking. That's the fear. And then when you tell me what it is, the blind spot will be revealed and I'll feel like an idiot. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. All right. So the ones I'm very confident about. Clayton Kershaw.
He's snuck into first. 79.9. I didn't look, and let me just do a quick thing. Okay. No. All right. Wait. Yeah, he has more than the 2 through 5 combined.
Corey Seager.
Corey Seager is third with 21.9.
Interesting. Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler is not in the top five. He is seventh, just behind Smith, 13.7.
It's Tommy John's fault. Man. Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp is second, 22.9, just ahead of Seager.
Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger is fourth, 17.7. So you're only missing the number five person.
This is where it's going to get rough. Russell Martin.
Okay, so if I were guessing, and the way I initially wrote on my note card, people to look up, I would have also guessed Russell Martin, and I would have also been wrong because he's eighth, 13.4.
Okay. Jock Peterson.
Okay, so he is not, and you made me look him up because I saw him in your thing. I don't have him on my note card, but I know I looked him up. He is 11.4 with the Dodgers.
Okay, I'm okay with that. All right, I got those were my three strikes. I got four. I'm feeling good about that. Who am I forgetting?
I noticed you put as a note. That you know, as a possible guess, know you didn't guess him, and I'm not holding this against you. You know what? I'm sorry. Jock was 10.2.
Okay.
Now I looked at the wrong column. But AJ Ellis was also on your list, and I did look him up the other day when I looked this up. And he is well short, but not so. It's 8.2.
Catcher, right? But, like
right. Number five, I was sort of happy that this came out this way. Chad Billingsley, 17.3.
I was wavering between him. I was seeing him like, there's no way it's Chad Billingsley. Oh, Walker Buehler, that's a good name. I should have had that.
Yeah, yeah. I liked how this list shook out. There's a nice cluster of guys like right in there. Yeah.
That was a good question. That was good.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Well. Time to break in the new year for you because we've got some questions, trivia, and otherwise from our friend because it's time for
Questions from Craig. We love them.
That was the weirdest intro I've done, the questions, Craig. I'm still rusty from I took a sabbatical. I just slept. It was great. It was in
Oh man.
Boonville, Missouri. at the Hotel Frederick.
Questions from a nap. I have also similarly been off for a little over 2 weeks, and a couple days last week I took naps where I woke up not knowing when it was. Yep. and by when I mean what day.
Yeah.
In fact, I think this last Friday I woke up at some point, and then I thought it was like early morning or something, and then I looked and it was 7 p.m. I was like,
what? All right. So this week's trivia topic is L.A. Dodger Gold Glove winners. I'm going to assume this is because of the Golden Globes. What a great tie-in.
That is a good tie-in. I like it. Right. Oh, we should be remiss. Freddie Freeman and Chelsea Globes. Freeman were at the Golden Globes, as was Best Actor winner, I believe, Tyler Glasnow. Cillian Murphy.
Can Eric name the last second baseman and shortstop to win Gold Gloves in Dodger Blue?
Oh, okay. So probably not. I was thinking about this.
I'm letting you know, I played along at home. I would not have gotten the second baseman. I got the shortstop on my second try.
I think the second baseman is D. Gordon.
You are incorrect.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no. I don't think. I'm just trying to shift. I'm trying to think of who. I don't think X player won a Gold Glove, however deserving he might have been. Man, but I also don't know if it's been that long. I'm gonna go a long shot and say, I'm gonna say Bill Russell for shortstop.
It's been more recent than that.
Okay. I should shift the focus back to second base. Okay, so D. Gordon didn't win. I don't know why they're like, I'm just not seeing it there. I don't even think this happened, but the only one I can think of that could be recent is Orlando Hudson.
It is Orlando Hudson. The okay, O-Dog.
2009. Shortstop. Oh God. Okay. Gold Glove at Talking Slow. Okay. So more recent than Bill Russell. This is I don't this is so weird. Is it? Nope.
Don't overthink it. It is a glove for a shortstop, for sure.
Okay, I'll just say Cesar Asturias.
Cesar Asturias.
When did he win?
2004.
Huh. All right.
There was a bobble. I believe there is a Gold Glove Cesar Asturias bobblehead out there.
I thought he never won. All right.
Can Eric name every Los Angeles first baseman to collect a Gold Glove? And for bonus points, can Eric guess the total number of Gold Gloves won by L.A. Dodger first baseman?
All right. So I'm actually I like my chances on this one. Gil Hodges, don't hold me to these numbers, but I'm just going to run them off. Gil Hodges, I believe, 3. Wes Parker, 6. Steve Garvey, 7. Adrian Gonzalez for sure.
I'm going to stop you. You got all 4. Now you just need that number. Right.
Okay, so 3, 6, 7. So now it's did Gonzalez win 1 or 2? Hold on. Oh God, let me think here. I'm just going to say 17.
13.
13?
Gil Hodges only won 2, and Garvey only won 4.
All right. I'm angry.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm conflating. I think it might be all-star starts for Garvey or something.
6 pitchers have won a gold glove and an L.A. Dodger blue uniform. Who are these fifth infielders for the Dodger, for those Dodger teams?
Greg Maddux twice. Zach Greinke. Clayton Kershaw. Fernando. Oral. Oh, boy. And then it's...
You're missing one. Yep.
Andy Messersmith.
On the money. Well done.
Nice.
Mookie Betts is the most recent outfielder to win a gold glove as an L.A. Dodger. Can Eric name the last L.A. Dodger outfielder... The first L.A. Dodger outfielder to be honored with a gold glove.
So, if I was looking at this. Outfielder, gold glove... Only because he played so long. I don't remember him winning one, but he might have just won, like snuck one in at least. I'm just going to say Willie Davis.
It is not Willie Davis. Do you want me to give you the year?
Not yet. Let's think now to... Oh, boy. Nope. That's probably not it. Oh man. Who is this here? Nope. Okay, the only one I know for sure won. I'm sure there's someone before him, but I'm just going to say Dusty Baker.
Wally Moon.
Damn.
Like 59 or something?
60.
Yeah.
All right. You did good. The pitcher question especially, you did really good.
Man, what a what a unibrow on Wally Moon.
For the contest, hey, we're back. Starting off the year fresh.
2024, 100%, baby.
For the Athletic, the top 3 Major League Baseball free agents are Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery. Please guess the total amount of money and years that will go to these 3 players.
So I added notes in here, the projections from those 3 sites. From the Athletic, Fangraphs, and MLB Trade Rumors for those 3 players. The outlier, it was MLB Trade Rumors going rogue and saying 12 years, 264 for Cody Bellinger. I don't know what he's going to get, but, like, it's not going to be that. It could be like more per year, but like not that. I have a rough idea where I'm going, but do you want to go first?
These Boris contracts are always so weird.
I think we mentioned this. This is all running together, and we mentioned this on the Teoscar Hernandez episode. So naturally, we were talking about starting pitcher contracts. But this market's been nutty. I know, like, Yamamoto's special. He's 12 years, 25, right? Different scenario. But, like, Frankie Montas got $16 million. Giolito got, like, $238 or whatever from the Red Sox. And it just seems like pitchers are getting paid. So Aaron Nola got $7,172. So Garrett Cole had the 9-year deal, however many years ago, and then there hadn't been a deal like over 5 years for a pitcher until Carlos Rodon went 6-162 with the Yankees, and now it just seems like that's easy money. Like, to the teams are willing to do that, so like it's hard to figure out. But I think we're probably safe in betting the over on the pitcher side, but I don't know what to make of Bellinger either, because it's like such a weird market.
All right, I'm ready. I think.
Okay, I am due. I'll just say mine first.
And so he wants the total.
Total years, total money.
So I'm going to just write, I'll give my individuals because okay. otherwise that's the only Same. Way I can add these I'll things get, up. Yeah. I think the Bellinger deal is the hardest one for me to peg. Yeah. Like it feels like he in theory would be a prime candidate for like one more prove it deal. I know that's what he just did with the Cubs, but like,
yeah,
he as Dodger fans are aware was rough at the end of his Dodgers like career. Yeah. But then looked really good for the Cubs. But, you know, how much of those numbers are to believe? He was a fairly dramatic shift in approach. So I have to imagine he seems like a likely candidate for like a weird deal, but that has like an opt out after a year or two that so he can like go back out.
Yeah.
So he's the one I'm still struggling with. But figuring out.
If he has an like guaranteed year, player options are guaranteed. So like. Factor that in if that's what you know if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, no, that's yes. I think I may be betting the under for him less than I think he's technically worth because of the opt out allowing him to kind of get out there again and make more. And it also it's just about how much what he wants. Maybe he wants long term stability. Not that he's the same player, but Bryce Harper style, like where like he wanted to pick where he was going to be and be there, and maybe mm-hmm. that's what Bellinger wants, and then it's you know it's a different story. I'm stalling because I still can't pick a number for him. I'm just gonna.
You want me to give you mine?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
I have 4 years, $100 million for Bellinger. And again, I'm going to assume there's an opt-out after a year or two. And then a thing that Fangraphs did that I like a lot is I'm going to give the same contract to Snell and Montgomery. 6 years, $175
million. Okay, so you are at $450 for 16?
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right, so I'm over. So I was... unsure what to do with Bellinger. I think it ends up that the Cubs end up being desperate. They still haven't like I think they signed like a 1 year deal for someone, but haven't really done anything.
This has been the one of the bigger storylines, right? They get Craig yeah. Counsell while they're coming out. We're like we're here. We're ready to kind of flip the switch into win mode, and never mind.
So that's how they spent. That's what yeah. their free agent money was on was Craig Counsell. No, but so my theory on this. A is that Boris is good,
yes.
and the Cubs are going to end up being like, God, we got to have someone. Let's have the guy we know, Bellinger.
Yeah.
So I actually have Bellinger at 7180, which I am not comfortable with. I am also not comfortable, but in the theory of betting the over, I have 7217 for Blake Snell, which makes me feel icky. it's the David Price deal from years ago, and then I have 5115. For Montgomery,
he's any which, more than
which, that. You're probably right, but anyway, but either with my contracts, I almost was gonna like I had those three, so that adds up to 19 years and 512. I was gonna add like without signifying which is which, that I was just gonna add 1 year and 20 million total yeah. just to do. But then I was like, I'll just keep it at that. So like, man, I just have no read on this at all. Like.
We need to revisit this
when the deals happen. I will mark the bets individually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Total,
so I want to know. Back. Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, this is our upcoming Christmas.
The Bellinger, the range on the Bellinger contract, many contracts would not surprise me.
Yeah. I will say, I think we both agree this next question is our favorite one of this episode.
If hypothetically, the Dodgers sign Teoscar Hernandez or a similar right-handed hitting outfielder, should the Dodgers look to move Miguel Vargas this spring? I think they should look to move Michael Busch. I think Vargas's value is in the tank. Obviously, depends on their actual valuations. If they think Vargas is he's going to come back. Why trade him when his value is low? Similarly, maybe they think like, oh, Bush's value could even be higher. You know, there's so many things that go into this that we're not privy to. But I still think selling low on a player who you know prior to last year had been so promising doesn't seem their style. But hey, maybe there's a team out there that still is still really high on him, and if it moves the deal moves the needle on a deal for Cease. There we go.
Wow, moves the Cease on a deal. I think you just talked the Dodgers into a White Sox trade.
Yeah, I think they would do it, but I don't think they need to be aggressively moving him.
So I agree with you pretty much on all counts there. I don't think the Hernandez deal means they look to move those guys. I think if the right deal came along, they would move those guys.
Yeah.
Other, you know, but like we talked about on the Hernandez episode, they have the depth now. Now, given how the roster stands now, we don't know what injuries might happen, but they have 13 guys, 13 position players that aren't Bush and Vargas. So, and the, you know, they'll just start in the minors in that scenario, right? Like, so, like you said, Vargas, for one thing, value lower than what it was last year, but also is much younger and has plenty of time to improve. And it's not like a make or break thing where, like, if he doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, he has time to figure things out, right? Like, so, like, there's that possibility. But, like, if the right deal comes along, they would move. But, yeah, I don't think they're looking to move necessarily. But I agree with you that Bush is the one to move if that's the case. Like, not that it's like an equal value situation, right? Like, one might bring back more than the other. I guess it depends if Corbin Burns is on the line, or if Dylan Cease is on the line, or if, like, another lesser starter is on the line, or something like that. Like, you know, who knows?
Chase Utley is not likely to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but should he be considered a possibility if he stays on the ballot for the next several years?
I mean, yes. Like, I just think he's gonna be one of those guys who is gonna be on the ballot for a little bit, and people are going to talk about him and think about him and look back at him. And then it's just a matter of, like, does he get that groundswell of support that some of these other guys have gotten? So what Utley has, like, against him is didn't debut till he was 24, wasn't like a full-time regular till he was 26. Low counting totals, roughly, like, you know, sort of, like 2000 less plate appearances than most other, like, second baseman in the last, like, 60 years or something. Like the great ones. Very underrated MVP vote, not his fault. He was like, for instance, Ryan Howard won one and Jimmy Rollins won one, and Chase Utley was the best player on the Phillies each year. So he was seventh in one MVP vote and eighth twice. Those were his best MVP finishes. From 2005 to 2009, he was second or third in the National League in WAR. He was great by Jaws, Jay Jaffe's metric. Jay Jaffe posted something the other day, 20 years ago was like his debut of Jaws when he was working at Baseball Prospectus. Like, damn, that's a long time. What an impact he has had on, like, baseball writing over the years. So Utley's, like, right on the line for an average Hall of Fame second baseman. He's not, like, there are only 20 second basemen in the Hall. I don't know if only is the right word, but there are 20 second basemen in the Hall.
That's a surprisingly low enough number that only fits.
Sure. And he is essentially, by Jaws, like, right in the middle of that. So his Jaws are 56.9, average is 57.0, so right there. What Jaws does is it averages out a career WAR, using Baseball Reference, and the best 7 years of the career, so the peak WAR. Utley's stronger case is his peak WAR because he had a bunch of 7 and 8 win years in there, and not so much on the career. Still great, like, but I think it's going to take a while. So I was like,
I think on the sort of intangibles that go his way, he's got a lot going for him. He was never the star power of those Philly teams, but he was arguably the most beloved player.
You saw it with the Dodgers, right?
Where exactly.
Absolutely. Like, a lesser player, still productive for the chunk of his Dodgers time, but, like, absolutely beloved in the clubhouse, like, from the jump. And
nicknamed. Austin Barnes. Nicknamed Austin Barnes Sam, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so one of my favorites. Well,
but then
stories.
it goes two ways. Like, this is probably it's a partisan thing too.
Has
like,
a rule named after him?
Yeah, Mets fans not so much of a Chase Utley fan.
He's currently projecting to be 40%, which is a really good first percentage on the ballot. I think he gets it.
I do think it. Yeah, but I think it's going to take like at least 5 or 6 years. I think because I think it's gradual. To be fair, I have not looked. Like fully analyze who's coming on the next few ballots. Like, if is it going to be a crowded ballot or what?
Right, right.
But like, I just think it's going to take some time. There's not going to be urgency.
I agree.
A couple years. So, I was looking. So Scott Rowland last year, he got inducted in his sixth year. He only got 10% first year. Larry Walker, Edgar Martinez, Tim Raines in recent years were all inducted in the 10th and final year. Walker had 20% in year one. Edgar was 36.2. Tim Raines was 24.3. So they all made – it was a gradual climb. Jeff Bagwell was a year seven guy. Now, he was different because he had the – even though, like, technically never, like, linked in, like, a news story, but it was like, oh, he's PED guy, right? Yeah. Like, that was essentially the unspoken or sometimes spoken argument against him. He got 41.7. It just took a little bit for him to get in. So yeah, I do think he's going to get in, but it's just going to take like 5 or 6 years, I would imagine, at least.
All right, final question. This is well trodden ground, but I believe Jacob does eat chili. So, name your favorite chili protein toppings, and for the age old question, beans or no beans?
Do you want to name? You want to do the protein first, or do you want me to?
So I run the gamut. I have had stewed beef, ground turkey. Ground turkey is what we normally use, but that's a health issue reason. Like, just get nice lean protein in there. We've done like shredded chicken before, which I actually, that may be my favorite. It works. It holds the sauce really well. But really, I think that's one of the joys of chili. And I've been making a lot of Japanese curry. Same thing, where like you can just. What vegetables you put in, what the ratio you put in, the secret ingredients you put in, what protein you use. Part of the fun of and greatness of chili is mixing it up. If I had to like submit something for a chili cook-off, I would probably use some form of like not stew meat and not ground beef, but like maybe even better than chuck, like
chuck steak though.
Yeah. Like, something not a chuck like, roast. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, like chuck steak, I don't always make chili with that, but when I do, man, it comes out great.
Yeah.
But I also do it with some, like with ground beef or ground turkey as well.
Yeah.
Like same thing. Anything like that is great. You can even, too, like, just have a bunch of beans and, like...
we're going to get there.
Right. a bunch of beans and, like, mushrooms.
Yep.
Like, if you want to have the thickness, that's not necessarily meat. I do like beans in my chili. I know, like Texans specifically don't, and you don't, but like I enjoy the beans. I do red beans, pinto beans, kidney beans. Any of those beans are fine with me.
My wife has acquiesced and given up ever putting in beans because she knows I don't like that texture. Mm-hmm. And I just, to be clear, I don't just omit beans on a sort of quote unquote standard chili recipe. I up the amount of beef and onions and peppers that go in, and that makes up a lot of the body.
Sure.
And it makes it enough to where doesn't taste like soupy to me at all. It's very hearty. In terms of toppings, gotta have some sort of hot sauce. Again, that's another. Melissa doesn't like spicy food as much as I do, so I add the heat later. A lot of times I'll just use Frank's or Louisiana, like add that kind of vinegary taste. Here, so I'm going to go over a few sort of more standard. Sour cream, cheese always. Sour cream usually. Greek yogurt works well if you wanted to do a slightly healthier option. putting a nice sort of quote unquote slice of Velveeta at the bottom of a bowl is delicious. Chocolate, if you haven't tried dark chocolate before, that's really good. That's another thing that we do.
I've heard of putting that actually in the chili.
The chocolate,
like when you're making it, rather than at the
topping. To me, it's something you add kind of like at the end, and then so that it melts. So it's not a topping, but it's still kind of an additive, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say a new topping, and this is gonna be weird, but I've looked it up, and I'm not the only person who has done this, and I think it makes sense when you think about it. Mustard.
It's a little off, but like. I don't hate it.
And you're remaking a coney, basically, without the dog.
My cousin, I've seen him eat chili dogs, and he puts mustard on his chili dog.
Oh, yeah, I do too, 100%.
I did not, didn't know that was a thing before he was doing it. And I was like, oh, and I tried it. I was like, you know what? It's not bad. Like,
so that's how I've done chili dogs for a long time. Yeah. And then I was having chili, and I'm like, it made me want a chili dog, and I was like, the thing I love about chili dogs the most is the mustard, so I'm just like, did a little spiral on top, and it was delicious.
That's the thing you love the most about chili dogs? the mustard?
It's the mixture. The thing that was missing from this chili bowl wasn't the hot dog, wasn't the bun, it was the mustard that I add, so.
Here's a weird one. I don't necessarily like fries dipped in mustard, but I will dip a tater tot in mustard. I don't know why the difference makes a difference for me, but like, back to chili for a second. I hate sour cream, so I'm never doing that. Huh. I like cheese a lot. I generally don't put it as a topping on chili. I don't know why. Like
anything that both sour cream and cheese create this the thickening. Yeah. It acts as a thickening agent, and that's the texture
chili cheese
I love.
Fries are great, and I love that. So like it's not that, but like, so the last as a topping though, I'm not going to go out and buy like oyster crackers or something, because that's the only time I would have it is like with chili or whatever. But I do love crackers with chili. Like, but and again, I'm never buying like saltines again. So like, I mean, I might, but no, if it comes with it or whatever, what I no matter what the crackers, whether it's saltines or Cheez-Its, I will ground them up,
yep,
and then pour it over the top, and then mix it in.
I've done them all good. I like dinner rolls. I like having that. You gotta have something. Like I tend to use it more as a finish it up dipping agent than doing the crumbling thing. But especially if I don't have sour cream, I will use instead some sort of cracker to kind of thicken things up.
But you're right though. Like all of that sort of lends itself. All these topics, they lend itself to like making it more of a thicker, heartier thing. Now, the last soup I made, or the last chili I made, excuse me, didn't want to.
No.
It was a couple months ago, and it was like a hybrid of like three different recipes that I found. And so the combo was some of it was like almost like a salsa, like quite, but there I actually had never put canned chipotles in a chili before.
I don't think we've done that either, but that sounds good.
That went into the salsa portion where I actually roasted, I had a lot of habanero. So I'm as a single person, I'm making the chili pretty much for myself.
Yeah.
So like, I will make it as hot. That said, I will add a little bit of hot sauce sometimes after the fact, even though it's like sometimes really hot. Just as
being able to augment it, and yeah, it's not just texture, but adding that kind of, it's almost a float of vinegar on the top is just really, really for me, really pleasant.
Yeah, and then there was, I think I also part of the sort of salsa mixture was there's all sorts of peppers, and then also a little bit of cornstarch to thicken that part up. So, I braised the. Browned the chuck steak, and then I browned the ground beef, then I browned the chuck steak, and then using what was left over in the pan, has cooked the onions and then deglazed the pan with beer, then threw all of that into the crock pot, and then added the already blended, like, salsa-esque mixture, and then tomatoes, beans, all sorts of stuff. And it ended up being a very awesome consistency, and like the meat, and it was slow cooked, and like the meat was just so tender, it was great. And so I think I'm gonna do something like that again. I was thinking though I might do something without meat, like and doing the beans, mushrooms, peppers route, and just see where that takes me. But yeah, you can't really go wrong with chili. Like it's all a nice little mixture.
Well, I have nothing to make chili with, so I'm going to figure something else out. But I'm hungry, so I'm going to go eat.
I am going to make. I know you hate soup, but I'm going to make another ham bone soup this week because I had made a ham right after Christmas. So I made stock out of that, and I'm going to use that stock to make soup. So I will enjoy that. I know you won't, but enjoy whatever you want while listening to this. Thank you for listening to the 3-inning save. I am Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. Thanks to Craig Manami for questions. Thanks to Brian Salvatore for his work on the ones and twos, and thanks to the Dodgers for keeping us busy and signing Teoscar Hernandez to give us two episodes this week. We will have another coming at you next week, and probably some Dodgers rewinds in the near future. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.